Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects with interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Tom.
This is Tommy.
This is Anna.
Anna, did you want to kick this off?
I do.
Go ahead.
I did something fun over the weekend. Well, actually, this is still a weekend. Okay.
As of this recording.
Seven minutes of heaven. Yeah, as of this recording. So yesterday, I actually, my friend and I went to Los Angeles to go watch The Matrix in shared reality at COSM, C-O-S-M. In Inglewood. Had no idea what to expect. I knew nothing. All I know, my friend, you know, was like, do you want to go to this with me? Yes, I'll go with you. I didn't look anything up. So I went in completely blind.
Nice.
And so, you know, we show up there. It's really cool, a space. Obviously, it's like the whole new, like, new area for Inglewood, I guess, like with the SoFi Stadium. Everything is in, like, that area. But
oh, it's next to SoFi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Very cool area. So again, no idea. And there it's like a three-level dome, half dome experience thing where we actually got to catch like the last 10 minutes of the Cirque du Soleil show that they were playing. So it looks really cool because we're on the first floor and you're looking at it and it's, you know, obviously like a dome and you get to see like everything and it was the curtain call and everything. It was very cool. So I was like, wow, The Matrix is going to look really cool. So finally they led us up into our seats after the show and the people had left and we were on the third floor. Had no idea what to expect. And the seats that we're on, like when we're getting to the third floor, you know, you can still see like the dome area, but at certain points it's cut off because like the way that the levels are built, like it's obstructed view.
Any idea how many people are seated like in total?
Ballpark, probably like 30 people.
Oh, that's not a lot.
I don't know, like because it was like tables of two, and then they had the rows in the back. And
But you said you were in the third floor first, right? I thought there were no tables in the third floor.
No, it's like what's it, they call it tables, but the like booths, but it's very like it's like a booth.
On the third floor, right?
Third, second, and first floor.
Because I was looking at the map, and the way it looked like was that the side ones, if you're in the sides, it's kind of like a weird kind of angle. So I wonder if that's what you got.
Originally. Well, we didn't get the side. We got the back, like the back row, the last row.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
It's bad, but it never, like, when we were looking at the seating chart, because we were like, what the hell? It didn't look any different. Like, it didn't look like you're going to be out of the dome area.
Mm.
Pretty much, like, not in the shared experience. You're outside of it. You're basically, like, the railing is in your way. Everything, like, the seating is not even, like, a booth or, like, movie chairs. It's, like, a bar stool.
Yeah. It's bad, too, because that's where the disabled area's at, too.
Yeah, that's true. So we're like, what the hell? And my friend's like, if this is not good, we're just going to leave. I'm like, no, we drove up here for this. We at least got to stay and experience it. So we're both getting a little frustrated because I'm like, dang, this really sucks. But oh, well, we'll make the best of it. And finally, like, she's like, are there any other like seats open? I'm like, no, I think it's sold out. I look and there's one table left on level one.
Mm.
And I'm like, book it. I buy the tickets. We go downstairs. We go to our table. Someone was sitting there and I was like, oh no, they like, I don't wonder if we're going to get a refund because clearly someone's sitting there, but the table was available to buy. And they're like, oh no, they sat in the wrong table. We'll get you seated right away. So thankfully we get on the first floor. It's really cool then because you're like fully immersed. It's like, it's literally like sitting on like the first few rows in the movie theater because you're like, these are really comfortable chairs. You can lean back and you're like, you're looking at everything and it's just like, you're really immersed in the Matrix. Like you're really immersed in the movie. And
they were only like $35, right?
So, yeah. So, apparently, level one was cheaper than level three.
Correct, yeah.
So, we're like, for what we paid for one ticket was what we paid for two tickets. I'm like, okay, come on. And so, then they're like, oh, like, they came. There's, like, a waitress coming around asking us for our order. And she's like, there's a tasting menu for the Matrix, and the food comes out at certain parts during the scenes. Do you want to do that? And so, we're like, absolutely, yes. We're absolutely doing this. And the menu consisted of noodles, very good noodles, and then a steak, a little steak, and then a cookie, the Oracle cookie.
Yeah.
And
the little steak part is when that one guy.
Negotiator. Yeah, they're negotiating.
Yeah.
And they also had
red pill, green pill?
No. They had drinks. They had drinks that were red pill, blue pill. But we were like, oh, I don't feel like drinking because I don't know. I did not want a blue drink because the price was blue. And then I just was like, my friend wasn't drinking. I don't want to be the only one drinking and stuff. So it was fine. We just got water.
Do they ask you if you're vegan? Or like, because of the steak situation?
No. So they showed you the menu and it's like, you want it or not kind of thing. They never asked like any dietary restrictions.
I guess if you're vegan, you just say no.
You're a vegan, you just don't do it. And too bad, that's what you get for being a vegan.
hey, I can't eat beef anymore, remember that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, but you're not choosing.
I'm not choosing, though.
No. Yeah, it's against your will. So the movie starts, is so cool. Like, obviously, it's not like, I thought it was going to be like the whole screen, but it really, like, the movie was playing on the screen on the wall, and then like the rest was like the rest of the space is filled with like if it's the building or you know it's raining or when they're in the ship and all that, and then when they're you know getting to like the certain parts that you know they bring out the food, and the food was delicious. Oh my god, not what I was expecting for like a theater tasting menu. The food was great. And then, like, when the parts at the end were, you know, they're, like, the fight scenes and all that, the dome, like, the it kind of spun. So you're kind of moving with them as they're flying around and stuff. I'm like, oh, wow, this is so cool. And I did get a little bit dizzy when they were, like, you know, when he was doing the bending thing and all that because the buildings were, like, squiggly, too. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get sick. I should have taken Tramadine. But, like, overall, the experience was pretty cool. If you're on like second level is honestly the best level because you're really, really immersed. But like first, second level, great. Third level was okay, but don't do third level. We obviously didn't know. We were looking up Reddit threads. They all said don't do the third level. So now we know. But overall,
do they only have this one screen? That's it?
Yeah, one screen. Yeah, only one screen the whole time.
Well, the second level pricing is $60.
That's why.
And it's also very limited too. It's very limited too.
It's very limited, yeah. But our table was perfect. It was a little bit off to the side, but we got everything. And the food was great. So the tasting menu was $45 per person. And I thought it was worth it. You know, they really packed in the noodles. So you got a lot of food. The steak was delicious. The cookie was delicious. It was a really awesome experience to go. And, we were talking about, like, what other movies would they do. And I mean, I'm thinking like all the sci-fi movies, like The Fifth Element would be cool. Star Wars would be cool. But overall, if they ever play, like, if I guess they play sports and all that stuff and they have like these nature shows and thing, if you ever get a chance to go for a movie that you like or whatnot, definitely go check it out because it is a pretty fun experience. Like, not something I would do every day, but for a special movie, definitely try it out.
And dumb question, they obviously show the whole movie, right?
Yes, you got the whole movie.
So I'm looking at the YouTube page, you know, people have made YouTube videos about it. It looks really, really cool.
It's pretty darn awesome.
It's essentially like a mini version of the Spear.
Yeah.
So,
and the resolution looks really sharp, right?
It looks it like, is. Yes. What? No, it was great. It looks like, beautiful. Yeah, like very high quality.
It's supposed to be 12K, I believe.
You could definitely see that. I could see every imperfection.
In comparison, the Spear is 18K.
Whoa, okay.
But then that's a much bigger screen too, so.
Yeah. But it really like messed up, like when they were playing the trailers for like the wave and like the wave show that it's like a ocean nature show. I was kind of getting a little sick. So like, oh my god, it's like in my face. I'm in the water.
I was going to say they show the Matrix as a limited time only, screen. Right? But normally they show nature shows, circus stuff.
Normally they do sports.
sports. Sports. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. When they showed the sports trailer, I was like, oh my God, that's really cool. Cause you're like in the court, like right then and there. So very cool for a sports situation as well.
Yeah. I think this is something I'll definitely want to do one of these days.
I recommend it.
Yeah. If they show the new Demon Slayer in this movie, in this theater, I would definitely go and stuff. Yeah, of course not.
But they really, I really feel like they're missing an opportunity to show like the 1:43 aspect ratio IMAX in this screen. They really could. They could do it. They have it right there. It's right there. They could do it right there. They could capitalize on the fact. Yeah, they could. But according to their philosophy, they don't want to do traditional movies into this thing. The fact that they're doing Matrix is a special thing. But supposedly the people behind Cosm said they're not trying to replace movie theater experiences. So that's the reason why they're focusing on sports, live shows, and occasionally the Matrix, I guess. So yeah.
I think it was a big tech house, so I think everybody liked it. And people dressed up, so hey, people were all about it.
I think it seats like 100 people, or at least 100. It seems like a lot of rows.
You're looking at the third floor, jumping.
Yeah, the third floor sucks.
Yeah.
I'm just flipping through all the various YouTube videos that they've, you know.
Oh, okay. No, if you go to the actual website, you can see what the floor outline is. The third floor has the most seats, but like what Anna's saying, it's the worst one. Second floor is supposedly the best, but if you look at it, there isn't a lot of space. And the last floor are just tables, which is even less space, but.
That's what I'm looking at right now. You guys went to Vegas, obviously. It reminds me of those where people go gambling and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like they have a big giant stream of and then there's different. I don't know. It seems like a Vegas kind of thing, really. But it looks really cool. It actually does look pretty dope. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, Matrix is available till the end of August. It looks like, because that's how far the calendar goes. If you want to go see it,
looks and pretty cool.
A lot of the weekend ones are running out of tickets already.
Right on.
And do you want to add to that, Anna?
It was a great impulse, yes. Again, I went blind, so if you can't go blind. Then you know nothing, and you're like, whoa! The whole time I was like, wow.
But just to mention the cost again, the cost is like 35 plus. You probably spend another 30 or 40 on food and drinks, right?
So just to break it down, for the table, level one table, it ended up being $77 total with everything for the table of two. And then the tasting menu was $45.
Oh, so sorry. You pay by the table.
Yeah, for that seating, yeah, you pay by a table.
Gotcha.
And then for the food, it was like, I think like $55 total or something with after tax and everything. So yeah, I mean, you're paying like close, you know, under 100, but you're having like, it's an experience. You're never going to do a tasting menu of the Matrix again kind of thing. So why not?
Looking at the quality of screen, the size, I think that's worth it. I think that's, you know what I mean?
For the Matrix,
The Matrix and stuff like that. If it was a Super Bowl, that'd be pretty cool to see it there. Yeah, I dig it. I support this.
I also
you guys
support
definitely got to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely want to try it. All right, Jumming, your turn.
My 5 minute bit is basically I'm going to do like basically mini movie reviews for movies I've seen recently, and because the people need to know my opinion. My hot bag, my hot gas, whatever the expression is, my opinion on movies and stuff. I'll do it in chronological order. Because the last movie I saw last night was Eddington, the new movie from Ari Aster. It's about, it takes place in 2020, May of 2020, and it's about the COVID times in a small New Mexico town, I believe. It's New Mexico, right?
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, since you mentioned Pedro Pascal, I'll tell you this. Pedro Pascal has been in one TV show and three movies I've seen this year. And he's always been the best thing in all four of the projects he's been. I'm going to assume he's the best thing in Fantastic Four. So I'm going to say he's 5 for 5. You know what I mean? He's really good in this movie and stuff like that. But the thing is, this is a 2.5 hour movie. The first hour, I wish I had COVID. You know what I mean? I wish I was sick. I had no idea what's going on here. But then around the 1 hour and 30 mark, Albert knows what I'm talking about. The movie takes a step up. You know what I mean? It becomes something completely kind of different or something. It goes somewhere in different directions, stuff like that. You know what I mean? But anyway, does that, and it's really good after that, but does it justify or does it recontextualize the first hour to a point where I think this is a masterpiece of a great movie. I don't know. I'm still debating. But what I will say,
I'm not debating this. I don't think it's a masterpiece at all.
Yeah. I will say this though. As I was leaving the theater, as I was driving home, I was thinking about the movie. I was thinking about what he's trying to say, what we're trying to do. And I believe in my, this is not a spoiler. In my heart of heart, I believe he's having a laugh, but this movie is the Rorschach test. You know what I mean? How you discuss it, how you talk about these characters and how the story unfolds, all the twists and turns and stuff like that. It says more about you and your, what do you call it? Your beliefs, your innate beliefs, you know what I mean? Than anything else. You know what I mean? And then when I got home, I went on the YouTube page and look at how people talk about the movie, the ending, you know how YouTube is and stuff like that. It shows that, you know what I mean? So that's why I found very interesting. That's why I find the last hour and a half very, very fascinating. Stuff like that. How people discuss the movie, how people think about it, tells you what their leanings are. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So yeah, it's a very interesting movie. In the same way, The Materialist is a movie where I like talking about, thinking about it, but the experience of seeing it was maybe not that great or not that pleasurable, I guess. You know what I mean? So that's why I would say about Eddington. You know what I mean? So that's one.
I will say this. Eddington is, a lot of people complain about Bowie's Afraid for being too esoteric and strange.
That's me. You're talking about me. Just say my name.
This one is not as esoteric and strange, but it's still kind of esoteric and strange.
It's true.
Just not as much as Bowie's Afraid. Bowie's Afraid is just a mind F. But this one...
The thing about Bowie's Afraid, the thing about Midsommar, the myth about Hereditary, all three of them are kind of more internal about Ari Aster's internal whatever thing he has going on. This one is a wider view of America, Americana. Well, but it is still very kind of very Ari Aster, very esoteric.
Well, the difference here is that in Midsommar and with Hereditary, the narrative is easier to grasp. You can you can watch the movie from point A to point B to point C. Bowie's Afraid just kind of goes all over the place in the narrative, and so does this one.
The thing with Bowie's Afraid is it's 3.5 hours. That's way too ass long. And also about a minute, an hour, I figured out what the ending was, and I just shouted it in my head, like, oh, you're doing a blank and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Without spoiling and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But still.
Yeah.
But anything, it's a very much worthy of discussions. I think it's very interesting.
Yes.
Especially how people interpret it, how people think about it and stuff like that. People, the way they talk about what's his name? Joaquin Phoenix's character and stuff like that.
Right.
How they kind of, you know what I mean? It's like well, given what he does in the movie, I was like, I went on these YouTube pages. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, what's going on? So that revealed, like I said, your leanings in life. You know what I mean? How you view that character in particular and what he does. And stuff
well, it's very America because everybody is still deciphering what their opinion is about 2020. So.
Yeah.
There is. I mean, halfway through the movie, I'm like, this is 2020. Why am I forcing myself to experience this again?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's like I said, that's why I saw the first, that's why I thought the first, I was like, what the hell am I doing here? I was here before. I was here already. Like, what are we doing? Like, what's going on? But, you know, it's a interesting movie. I'll give him that. Shout out to Ari Aster.
Okay.
The other movie I saw this movie was this weekend was I Know What You Did Last Summer. And let me tell you something. I regret seeing this movie because this is just a bad movie. I want you know these slasher movies you usually have someone you cheer for? I didn't cheer for anybody. I want everybody to die. I was hoping, you know what I mean? I want everybody to die, including me.
Well, that's also a Rorschach test in how you handle with Gen Z's, John A.
If you want to see a Gen Z kind of if you want to go that direction, go see Finn Wolfhouse's movie. Wolfhouse? Wolfgang? What's his name? What's his Finn Wolfhard? Yeah, that's the name.
Are you sure it's Wolfhard?
Is it?
Are you sure?
Finn? Wolf? Something? Anyway, he did the
Wolfhard.
Yeah, there you go. What was his movie? Summer Camp, right?
Yes.
Yeah, just watch Summer Camp then, because this one is just dumb, man. I know what you do last time, it's just a dumb reboot of, what do you call it, of the 90s slash movie. And then Freddy Fresh Shooter can't act, man. At least not in this movie. He was terrible and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, the movie doesn't ask a lot from their actors in the first place, so it's fine.
It's just dumb.
The only one that I saw that was going way beyond that she needed to was Mandarin
Clark. You can't mention her name.
Why not?
It's a surprise.
Madeline Klein?
What'd you say?
Madeline Klein.
Oh, no.
I mean, the other person, yeah, she's spectacular in that scene.
She's spectacular.
But point is that...
She knows how to deliver these kind of dialogue and make yes, it interesting.
But the point is that out of the main cast, the blonde chick is the one that actually seemed like she knows what she's doing in terms of what kind mm-hmm. of movie this is.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie itself felt like a movie that should have gone straight to the straight to video in the 90s in the first place. So whatever.
Yeah. It's not very good.
I'll give them this though. The mid credit sequence was pretty lengthy. It was surprisingly lengthy.
Yeah. I just totally did the end credit one, but I hightailed out.
No, there's no end credit for what I understand.
Oh, okay.
Just the mid credit sequence. But yeah, the movie's fine. I mean I wouldn't recommend it, but it's not horrible. It's just fine.
It's just dumb, man. Speaking of disagreements and some of that, apparently the box office, I have a disagreement with the box office. I have a disagreement with CinemaScore. I have a disagreement with Rotten Tomatoes critics and stuff like that for the next movie. And that's Superman that came out last year. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I'm with you.
I don't understand this movie and its appeal to its audience and stuff like that. Because the thing is, after I watched the movie, I enjoyed it. It's not like a bad movie, but I was just bored and disappointed and uninspired. I told Albert this, but I went back when I came home. I went back and watched Guardians of the Galaxy 3, just to be like, hey, man, am I crazy? James Gunn is super talented, right? I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in its full, man, and I cried all over again, like it was 2 years ago and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And that one has so much imagination, has so much, what do you call it, interesting characterization, and Superman had none of it, man. It was uninspired, the set pieces were bad, the dialogue was, the characterization is inconsistent.
Come on.
It's not a good movie.
Come on.
Man. It's not a bad movie. It's not a good movie, man. I don't get it.
You're being way too harsh on it. Make a better movie, man.
People who like it or overhyping it,
I'm not the guy overhyped it. I really enjoyed it, but I'm not telling everybody to like it.
No, but it's like you guys are forcing yourselves to say you like it because you guys want James Gunn to succeed.
How dare you think that's my intention? No, I actually genuinely enjoyed the movie.
What part? When Supergirl showed up?
No. I like the comic book-ness of the movie. It just kind of just throws you into the whole situation like a comic book. And I like the fact that Superman isn't like the most powerful being in the world, which kind of is, but at the same time, he actually gets hurt.
That's the whole purpose of being Superman. You're the strongest.
Think about
he keeps getting his butt kicked.
Think about when he does get hurt. There's a legitimate reason why he gets hurt. Without spoiling the movie.
There's kryptonite.
No, not all that. It's not all that. Because there are parts of the movie where he gets hurt.
Not my Superman. This Superman's weak. Well, he's so weak. Look,
he's not my Superman either. But point is that I enjoyed the movie. I was looking forward to seeing it a second time after watching the movie.
You know what? I went to go watch Man of Steel and I felt better.
Oh,
wow. That's a step too far. Yeah.
Because this guy seems so weak and he's such a wimp and he's such a jerk and he has a douchebag face. Sorry, D-bag face. He just is not entertaining whatsoever.
I liked him as Superman. I mean, he's not my Superman, but I liked him as Superman. He's a different kind of Superman. He does give a humanity to Superman as far, because he has a lot of personality, which you don't. A lot of the times,
animated Superman did it right.
Yeah, but the point is that they were following the outline of like Boy Scout. Just make sure he's a Boy Scout. You know, this one, I kind of felt like he's like a modern Boy Scout where he's trying to do good, but he's frustrated that he's not allowed to do good. And I get that from him. I totally get that from the actor. And that's what it seems like it's going for.
This is a common.
He's trying so hard.
From the reviews I've seen and read and stuff, this is a common. Praising of the movie and stuff like that, like what Albert just said. And part of my whole thing is there's a part of me that has a philosophical argument against this type of portrayal of Superman. And there's also the critical part, like how the movie is actually done. The philosophical disagreement is my whole thing is like, this Superman is like 30 years old, man. He should be, if this movie was called Superboy, I might understand this characterization, having fun and stuff like that. You know? But the guy's in his 30s. Jesus died at 33. You know what I mean? So come on, man. He should kind of have things put together by now.
He's a Gen Z Superman, guys. Come on.
Stop making excuses for the
media.
I'm not making excuses. You're giving him way too much credit. I am accepting the movie for what it's trying to go for. You're telling me he's been 3 years in a Superman and he still doesn't get it? Like he keeps getting
What do you mean he doesn't get it? There's a reason why he's getting more frustrated, because he keeps doing this and he's not getting the results he wants.
Because he's weak.
Oh my gosh.
No, hold on a second. I have a second part to my philosophical idea of Superman. But the second part is my head of watching and reading all the Superman comic books and movies and stuff like that is Superman shouldn't. Why I don't want to be related. I don't want Superman to be relatable to me. I don't want him to be down in the dirt. Mm. I'm a scumbag. The people of Earth are scumbags. So the society is shitty as far as I can see. I want, you know what I mean? Maybe it's a part of nostalgia to Christopher Reeve and all that stuff. But I want my Superman to be elevated. I want my Superman to think he's not doing enough. You know what I mean? His first argument, his first thing out of his mouth when he's having these arguments with the people he loves and the world is like, hey, I don't want people to die. I am not an American citizen and stuff like that. I don't want people to die. That should be first thing out of his mouth from Superman that's 30 years old. You know what I mean? I want Superman, like the way they characterize Captain America in all those movies and stuff. I want his morality, his principles to be higher than everybody else. I don't want him to be down in the dumps with us.
Are you talking about Man of Steel or are you talking about this one?
No, I'm talking about this one, right?
This one was the guy who was yelling at Lois Lane for going, they're about to die. They're about to die. That's exactly the kind of thing you were asking for.
Superman just didn't seem genuine. It seems like it's a very poor Superman.
That's a subjective opinion because I thought that was genuine. If you're telling me, I'm sorry. Hold on, guys. Time out. If you guys are telling me that my emotions about this movie are completely wrong, you're out of line. Okay.
Who said that?
You guys are saying that I'm wrong for liking this movie. That's exactly where you guys are going. So you need to stop.
What are we talking about?
You're saying that I like this movie, but you're saying it's a bad movie. It's bad, super bad. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing ever, but I genuinely enjoyed this movie.
I didn't say anything about you. I just want to talk about me.
Exactly.
My idea. You
have your opinion of what Superman's supposed to be. Anna has her opinion about what Superman's supposed to be. And you guys are saying that we're the ones who are hyping this movie up more than it has to be. I said I really enjoyed this movie. I never told anybody that they have to enjoy this movie.
I don't think you're hyping it. I'm thinking the fanboy. I don't disagree with that.
I'm Mr. Stop hyping everything up. I'm that guy, people. Come on.
I know. I never said you. I never said you. I know. Yeah,
I'm going to put myself on mute. You guys talk amongst yourself. I'm going to put myself on mute.
I don't know why he got so explosive. I don't know what's happening here.
He never said Albert. I said everyone. Yeah. I'm not including you, Albert. I'm just including the people who are like, oh my god, it's the greatest movie ever. Or I know they like this Superman. I just don't see
it. I started this with saying I have a disagreement with the box office, the Rotten Tomatoes score, and the critics score, and all this stuff. I don't know where that's coming from. I have no idea what's going on right now.
Stop talking about me. Just talk between you two. I'm gonna put myself aside from this. Okay, just tell me when you're done.
I don't particularly am online with film critics ever. This is one where I'm definitely not online. I agree because all these scores are phenomenal. But I'm like, did we watch the same movie? Because I don't get it. I don't get how this movie is I don't know.
And I mentioned earlier and stuff like that. The two parts of the Superman is, what do you call it? One part of people's how they praise the movie, how they talk about the movie is this relatability of Superman. You know what I mean? Like I said, that's a philosophical difference between what I like in a Superman movie and what other people seem to like in a Superman movie. The other thing is just basic kind of storytelling, how things are sort of executed, and also related to Superman as well. You know what I mean? The thing is, people like this Superman movie because he's very caring, he wants to help the world, which is great and stuff like that, but it's not consistent throughout the movie. There's a scene where Superman and Lois is having this discussion, you know what I mean? And there's an action sequence played in the background, you know what I mean? So it's a Justice Gang fighting that imp, you know what I mean? That magical imp and stuff like that. So my whole thing is you can't have it both ways, you know what I mean? You can't have a Superman who's saving squirrels, saving children, saving not wanting to kill that giant beast, you know what I mean? And you can't have him characterized that way and also turn around and have an action sequence playing in the background, you know what I mean? And that's, if it was just Superman, that's one thing, but throughout the movie, it's inconsistent characterization. You know what I mean? Same thing with, what's that guy? Mr. Terrific? Once he's set up as very cool, very calm, minimalist word and stuff like that, he's very, he's very kind of, non-emotional. But as the crisis gets worse and stuff like that, he gets more and more emotional. You know what I mean? He starts yelling. So it's like, I don't understand this. And that's,
okay, again, I'm going to bite it real quick. We're not reviewing this movie.
I know. I'm just saying.
You're reviewing this movie. Okay. Your examples part. Is reviewing this movie. So you need to stop.
Yeah. I know. I'm just finishing up right now. I'm just finishing up. Relax. It's okay. Like I said, these are the things I have issues with and stuff like that. So that's where I landed. That's why I landed like, hey, this is not a very good movie, man. This is not very well thought of. It's not very well.
I disagree on both of your points, by the way, but whatever.
So yeah, that's it. That's all I was gonna end with, but yeah. What's going on here, man?
I think that for me, it's just that people or critics are really on the James Gunn boat. And while I can admit that he has talent, I just don't know why we have to put all our eggs on this basket. Like,
I don't know where you're getting the impression, Anna, because in fact, a lot of people want James Gunn to fail. Not since this movie came out, but before this movie came out, a lot of people wanted him to fail. Okay.
Me too.
The people who still do. not just the Snyder fans, but people in general.
I don't think you should say that, Anna. You don't want any movie to fail and stuff. Every movie you go in, whether it's a big studio movie or it's a cheap independent movie, you want to see a good movie. Your job, not your job, but you go in with an open mind. You know what I mean? You're supposed to go in with an open mind and, hey, just like to experience the movie and stuff like that, you know, because it's your time, it's your money and stuff like that. You deliberately look for good things in a movie and stuff like that.
True. Yeah. I'm just being a hater. But, I mean, the tide has changed. Everyone loves James Gunn again. Everyone's rooting for him. Everyone's rooting for this DC universe.
Because of this movie. It changed a lot of people's minds.
Except for you two. I'm winning Batman 2. Is that even going to happen?
No, it's supposed to still happen. I think that's a scheduling thing. That's a problem. But the thing is that a lot of people wanted this movie to fail because a lot of people didn't like the whole regime chain. Not only that, but just people are tired of DC movies. People think a Superman can't work in today's modern era. So this movie kind of like says that apparently it could work. And apparently so much so that it's tracking to actually beat Jurassic World in the box office at this rate, which ruins my summer movie wager, but whatever.
It held up pretty well. It held up like, I think the drop was 54.
34. Oh, yeah.
It's on track. It's on track to beat Jurassic World. It's not going to beat Lilo and Stitch, but it's definitely on track to get number two.
The only downside is the international numbers. The international numbers. Yeah, especially those are like, those are not very good.
Yeah, because of the whole America thing, it doesn't really help. So.
Yeah, it doesn't help and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't help. And also, they're not opening in some, I think they're not opening in Japan until well after Demon Slayer. The domestic stuff is really good. The international stuff is not very good. So we'll see where it goes. And the last movie I saw, one that I'll finish up with is Jurassic World. I do want to mention Jurassic World. I talked about like I've shitted on all the Jurassic World movies that's been released during this podcast history.
Wait, we haven't talked about Jurassic World?
No, it was off mic. But this one is really good. If you get past the first 30 minutes.
I sure it wasn't because I put it in after credits. Hold
on. Oh, you put it in after credits?
The Jurassic World convention we had before, I believe I put it in after credits.
Oh, okay.
Let me double check on that real quick.
I would have finished.
I don't think Anna was there.
I would have finished my bit if I were just gone. Because I was just going to say, it's very simple. It's very quick and simple. If you get past the first 30 minutes of the new Jurassic World movie, which is just dumb and silly and stuff like that, it gets really, really entertaining. Once it becomes Jaws, it's really good. And it carries it through, for the most part, all the way and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a really good movie. I would definitely, if they bring back the same director, Garth Evans, I think is his name.
You had the same mistake in our after credits about that, by the way. It was in the after credits.
White people, am I right? But yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of his too. I didn't like that last.
We mentioned it in the after credits as well.
Yeah. But it's a very good movie. It's a very good movie. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Yeah, that's the one that I also don't understand critics because they're poo-pooing Jurassic World Rebirth. I'm like, it's exactly what we've always wanted from Jurassic World Rebirth.
I understand if they were just talking about the first 20 minutes. The first 20 minutes is deadly, man. There were some eggs, man, that they laid in the first 20 minutes. One of the dumbest things I've seen, not really spoiled, but one of the dumbest things I've seen in movies this year is they're on a moving boat, right? The boat is moving. They launched something in the sky with a balloon. and that thing yeah. comes down exact yeah. same spot.
Yeah,
like yeah. if Isaac Newton would be spinning his grave right now if he saw that thing. It's like, yeah. I don't think that's how physics works.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That was an exciting scene. I'll give you that much. But yeah, when that happened, I'm like, yeah, it's not gonna work that way.
And the other little movie kind of nerd thing I want to mention is, I don't mention it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah. Yeah, that's the one where I didn't agree with critics. They said they wanted more than what we got. And I'm like, you got more than what you got from the past three movies. How did that turn out? But yeah, anyways. My little bit is, you guys remember Zanga?
Yes.
Do I? Yes.
The blogging to Zanga. So I was looking.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Okay, I was looking for some kind of past picture or something that I posted a while back. And I'm like, I wonder if I have it in my Zanga. And I do have like some of my Zanga still available because of some kind of like, a time thingy, time back or whatever they called it, where it kind of saved like somewhat of an archive situation. And I came across July 13, 2005. When I'm about 3 hours away from driving down to San Diego Comic-Con. So it's a Comic-Con vlog that I came across here. I tried to go to sleep, but this is my Christmas in July, and I guess I'm too excited. I actually listed down here stuff that I was looking forward to. So I thought it'd be like a little thing because this episode would probably be listened to around Comic-Con time. Thursday, I have summer movie previews. Back when we used to have that, Anna, you remember that?
Yes.
It was just like a panel of trailers, nothing but trailers, right? There's also a panel here called Seducing Hollywood. I don't know what that's about. Friday, I have Warner Brothers in the morning. And that was on Friday. Now they do it normally on Saturday.
Does it say which hall?
Oh, Hall H.
Oh, okay. Hall H was always a thing.
Yeah, so this was... No. Hall H, I think, started like either that year or the year before. The Warner Brothers panel is for V for Vendetta, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Tim Burton's Corpse Bride, and The Fountain. Next panel here is advanced pilot screening for Supernatural. So first time I saw Supernatural was at Comic-Con. And then there was a Veronica Mars panel. And then there was a Disney Coming Attractions panel for Chicken Little, Sky High, Toy Story 10th Anniversary, Cars, and Pirates of the Caribbean 2. And then it ends off with Lucasfilm Presents Star Wars Spectacular. This is back when Fridays used to be Star Wars Day. So it always caps off the hall with Star Wars. Saturday, I have Warner Brothers again for Superman Returns. Superman Returns! Look at that. And then I had Paramount Pictures, AM Flux in the War of the Worlds. Kevin Smith at 1 o'clock, which is weird, right? Because he's always like end of the day kind of thing now. And then I had here Serenity and Slither for Universal. And then I got Underwood Evolution, Ghost Rider in the Fog for Sony.
And Serenity is the one I'm thinking about, right? It's the one with Josh Whedon and Firefly, right?
Correct, correct. The Devil's Rejects presents the Comic-Con International Masquerade.
Mm.
On Sunday, movie trailers park again. And then Rogue Picture presents Cry Wolf. I don't even know what that was. Okay, whatever. Universal Doom with The Rock. And then Walt Disney for The Chronicles of Narnia. And that's it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's what Comic-Con looked like back 20 years ago. And it's not that much different than this year. So, yeah.
Hmm. I mean, it's cool to hear all those things and see how, like, what interesting panels I would have wanted to go back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it hasn't really changed. A lot of people said Comic-Con changed, but it hasn't really changed that much. So,
no.
Especially from this 2000 era. It's 90s. Yeah, 90s was a completely different Comic-Con. But in the 2000 era, it's more or less the same. More or less
around
the same.
That time, I believe, is my first Comic-Con. Around that first time. Because I remember I was there whenever they announced the Revenge of the Sith title. Because I remember they announced it in Hall H. I remember there was a because I wasn't in the hall at hall when they announced it. But as the news spread throughout the hall, a cheer went out throughout the hall. Like the nerds all started clapping or screaming, hooting, hollering, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And that was also back in when you can have like they were also promoting one of the Species movie. I think it's part 2 or something like that. And they had like a girl in a Species makeup, like in a glass booth or something like that. You know what I mean? Like in a bikini. These are all the little bits of memories I have of that.
I remember that.
I think there was also
I have Brady. I have pictures of that.
I bet you do. Well, you gotta keep it. You gotta keep it locked away.
Oh, in case she was she did not look happy.
yeah. It wasn't that. Where is she now? That's a deep dive. Someone should do. What happened to these girls? And also, I think it was either strippers or porn stars. I also got paraded through the hall for some reason. I think it was a conflict.
No, those were late 90s, early 2000.
Yeah, but they were for a sick project. It was something like that. But no, yeah,
they were for anime, hentai.
That's what it was. Ah, good times. Now it's all commercial. Am I right, guys? Back in the day.
Yeah.
Those are my memories. I think it was like since it was Revenge of the Sith, it was probably 2002 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And what do you got to do?
On that note, thanks for listening. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky Trends, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Letterboxd at Albert5x5.
You can find me on social media, CIAMINGLOU.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage or my other show, Most Extreme Ranking Challenge.
Music has
been Comic-Con, sorry.
Most Extreme Ranking Challenge will be at Comic-Con. Go check them out on Saturday night. Room 3.
Will that be on the YouTube page afterwards?
Yes, it is. It's actually being recorded for YouTube.
Oh, my God.
I kind of want to make sure we get the right information for that.
It is Saturday. Saturday, 8:30 and 9:30 p.m. in room 10.
Room 10.
And you guys are ranking the best active
geeky,
movie.
Best geek franchises of all time with live punishments.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show. It's found on whowhatwhereswhy.com. Before we go, let's give our 11 listeners some recommendations for this week. Jami.
Oh, man. We still have more podcasting. Good Lord. There's a TV show on Hulu called Such Brave Girls. It's a BBC show, I think. But anyway, the Hulu has it. It's called Such Brave Girls. The premise is basically a mother, and she's living with her two daughters. The two daughters, I think, are like in their early to mid-20s. And it is a British show, so they can curse and stuff like that. But it's a comedy. But it's a dark, 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 dark comedy and stuff like that. Because all three characters, including the mother, are completely self-destructive, complete narcissistic and stuff like that. The point of this, their dynamic is like the three of them are bringing all three of them down. And but at the same time, it's as funny as F, man. I've seen the first three episodes, and I laughed, like genuine big belly laughs, like a bunch of times throughout the three episodes. It's very, very funny. There's gross-out comedy. There's also wordplay. There's also, there's a lot of stuff. And also, the oldest daughter is the creator and stuff like that. And she's the creator, and she's the writer. She wrote all the episodes. Her real-life sister is the younger sister, and it's based on their life, actually. It's, you know what I mean? So that's why it gets very, very dark, and it gets uncomfortably dark and brutal sometimes. I've only watched three episodes because you got to take time between episodes, because like I said, it can be pretty heavy. So yeah, but it's very funny. Such Brave Girls on
Hulu. All right. Anna?
I recommend watching The Matrix again, because it actually holds up.
I don't think that's an argument that The Matrix holds up.
No, but don't listen to me. I only have 12K subscribers on my other YouTube show, so don't listen to me.
I don't want to get into it, but that sounds like another. I don't want it to be another heated argument. I don't want another aneurysm situation. But does the Matrix? Does the plot? Maybe the plot is not the point, but does the plot of the Matrix hold up? Because I watch it every few years, and last rewatch I experienced the Matrix was like, if the plan is to free everybody from the Matrix, and how is that a good idea? Because they took so much time and so much resources just to cure Neo's character. Are they going to do that for the billions and billions of people in the capsule?
That's the general idea.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's the general idea, though.
Yeah, but is that feasible? Is that a good plot? Is that a good strategy?
That is up to you to decide.
Because billions and billions of people are going to die, basically, because they don't have the resources and stuff like that.
You know what? They don't get a choice between the red pill and the blue pill.
Oh, well, hold on. Are we discounting the plot details from the sequels, or just the movie?
There's sequels?
Shut up.
I don't
I actually enjoyed the sequels, okay?
So you need that hippie dippy Woodstock, they go take care of those billions of people and stuff like that. They can't take care of themselves. They can't take a shower by themselves. Anyway.
There is a sequel.
I am sequel defender, so whatever. But point is, in terms of just The Matrix by itself, I mean, that is the philosophical discussion at the end of the movie. So there's that. So yeah.
It just struck me the last time I rewatched it. Like this plot point, like, hey, we're going to free everybody. Everybody's going to be free. Where are they going to eat? How do we get to all billions of people and stuff like that?
Is there enough resources? Yeah. That's true. So but the reason I say, oh, okay. sorry, go.
But if you watch the sequence, you go, you know what? That's maybe the point, because they might be still in the Matrix. Everything they're doing is still within the Matrix.
I think the sequels actually do address that. The sequels actually address that. Yeah,
I actually don't remember any of the sequels.
The sequels address that. So
What I'm saying is it holds up well, is because it reminded me on how good movie soundtracks, like, they were, like, on point. Now they're okay, you know, but, like, back then it's like, oh my gosh, like, I forgot this song. Man, like, it was just kind of awesome to be reminded of, like, that era of how good the music, like, they just nailed the energy and vibe. Everything was just awesome. So that's what I'm like, dang, it holds up. Because sometimes I'm like, oh my God, why'd you pick this song? But then here I'm like, yes. Keep going.
and springing off that, it was a very packed little time right now. I mean, obviously now you can still get Blu-rays and stuff like that. But back then, watching a movie and think about it and experience it after you leave the theater, it's a very packed little experience. You know what I mean? The Matrix was one of the first DVD movies, you know what I mean? And then you get the soundtrack on a CD and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So, and going back to the DVD, you get a little booklet and stuff like that. And there was also a web page. It was a different era. It was a different era and stuff like that.
Great time. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love remembering all that.
Yeah, The Matrix was the movie that popularized DVD. That's for sure. It's also the movie that helped the PS2 sell a lot of units, because that was the cheapest DVD player you could buy at the time. So,
What a moment in time.
I remember The Matrix when the first time I saw The Matrix was in the theaters. Opening day, actually. And a lot of it.
This is about to be very geeky, I think. Because this is my experience too. Go ahead.
I don't think it's geeky at all. Because when the gatekeeping. Because when the first trailer came out, like, not a lot of people were interested. I, on the other hand, who's in, like me and John Mengo, or all of us actually, who are into this kind of genre stuff, we were like, that looks awesome. We got to see that, right? But the mainstream people were just like, not that interested. They think, oh, that looks like something that you will find straight to video, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, I was like into it. Me and my friends went to see opening weekend, you know, kind of thing. And I was the guy who was going like, that was okay.
Yeah.
You know, I was being a snob. I was being a snob because, like, I saw Ghost in the Shell. I watch anime. I watch kung fu movies. This isn't that special. I was that guy, okay?
I will also mention this, and also I will take a step further. The reason I mentioned gatekeeping at DVD is because I watched the first opening weekend, and there's a big revisionist history about how popular it was in the theater. It wasn't that big of a story. It was a modest hit, and it was a breakthrough in when it hit DVDs and stuff like that.
What? Yeah.
And then I said, I saw this in the theater. F you guys. I paid good money.
Oh, that's what you meant by gatekeeping?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Then,
I'm a real fan.
Gatekeeper, hipster mentality.
I'm totally high-fiving John Mangrat. That's right. Yeah. We saw it in theaters, but it opened up first time, not on DVD.
Exactly. It does this revision shift feel like everybody rushed their asses to the theater for Matrix 1. No. I was in there for opening weekend. Maybe like 10 people in that theater. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was there almost by myself. Like, how dare you? It wasn't until the second and third one where the theater was packed and all that stuff. It was a huge monster hit on DVD. It was a phenomenon on DVD. That's what it was.
Yeah. I think the reason why people remember it being like a movie thing, like a really popular movie, was because of the sequel. Because Matrix Reloaded, it had like the Star Wars energy of people lining up for it and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was for the sequels. But the movie, yeah, when the first one came out, it was a very modest hit. Only the nerds and the geeks knew it existed, you know, until DVD. So,
and going back to what Albert said, when I watched it, I thought it was a very, very good movie. Excellent moments at all. But also at the same time, I said, you know what? I've seen The Dark Knight. I've seen this Dutch angle, my guy. But anyway, that's not the point.
Yeah, yeah. At that point, I think that was exactly the era where I was being a complete nerd. And I was like, yeah, I mean, this isn't that special. I mean, I've seen other stuff that are like this. You know, I was that guy back then. So it's like, and now I've learned, like, appreciate it for what he got. But now I appreciate the first movie. I still do not like, and I think spoilers is pretty much out in the open since it's The Matrix.
Of course, yeah.
I still do not like the Sleeping Beauty thing. I never liked that. Even when I first saw it, I'm like, come on. Do they have to go that far to like, oh, she's going to kiss him and he's going to come back to life? I mean, come on.
Dude. Okay. So I am not on board with the Trinity Neo love story. I watched it when I was younger. I'm like, oh, this is so dumb. And I watched it again. I'm like, come on. Yeah.
I still think it's dumb. Yeah. The sequels redeem it, though. The sequels redeem it because apparently that was fate. So
yeah,
I am a sequel defender because everything that I said I did not like about the first movie, which I retract now because it is a pretty good, it is a masterpiece. But everything that I did not like about when I saw the first Matrix movie was answered in the sequels, and that's why I prefer. Mm-hmm. That's why I appreciate the sequels because it maybe turned around to what I thought about the first movie. So yeah, there's that.
The thing that doesn't work for me in the first one when I first saw it and doesn't work for me now is like when they first go and get Neil in the office building and he just ducks behind some office
table. Come on,
like,
that's unbelievable.
That's it?
We had cubicles.
That's it? That's all you got?
Logically, if they are...
Lead over, buddy. Lead over.
I mean, not only that, but logically, if they are machines and they control the Matrix, they will know exactly where it is, right?
Yeah. And also, the thing is, if they can be... if they can be anybody, why don't you just be Neo then? Just jump in his body. That's problem solved, guys. Did they ever answer that?
No, they never answered that.
No.
Just be Neo. Problem solved, guys.
We did it. Yeah.
And there was a huge FedEx in this imaginary world. It's a huge FedEx product placement. But that's
nice. Oh, I know. But, I was like, wait, did they need product placement back then?
And I will mention the plot detail or the plot hole I discovered later on in life is the one I mentioned earlier where, hey, you're going to wake up billions of people. Like, they're all going to starve and die. I don't know what the point of all this is. So anyway, Matrix, I love you, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, that one, like I said, is an answer in the sequels because the sequels gave people the choice. They can either stay in the Matrix or they can leave. So,
if 100 people to wake up, they're all going to die still. They don't have the resources.
No. Well, the whole thing with Zion was that Zion was supposed to be the answer, you know?
Yeah.
And people are just going to, they'd rather starve to death and be alive in the real world than be in the Matrix kind of thing.
I'll take the stake.
It's a philosophical argument, Jamming. That's what
I'll take. I'll take the stake. Yeah. But I'll tell you, too much bad mouth on my part. The part with the deja vu, the I know Kung Fu, all that stuff still works, man.
Yeah. That was so cool.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah.
Forgot.
Shout out to Matrix.
Yeah.
Matrix really good. All right. And my quick recommendations, really quick. If none of you are familiar, I think I mentioned this a while back, but I'll mention it again because it's Comic Con week. I'll preface with this. If you're somebody who wants to get into comic books, because a lot of people nowadays, they only do comic books through movies now. But if you actually want to get into comic books and you don't want to do Marvel or DC, my suggestion is go Image Comics. Because Image Comics have a very good variety of stuff that you can read. And an easy way of getting into Image Comics is they have this service on the website called First Issues. Right? Jamming, are you familiar with this?
No.
So,
on the
imagecomics.com website, there's a section there called First Issues, which allows you to read the first issue of an Image comic. It's a huge catalog that they have available to read the first issues, and they go all the way back to Spawn 1. Okay. So very, very old.
Holy cow.
It's not, they don't have all of it. There are some Image comics here, titles that I'm noticing are not available for first issues. But they do have a lot. So if you want to get into comic books that isn't Marvel or DC, my recommendation, check out Image Comics and check out their first issue page on their website, and they give you access to read the first issue on the website. So it's a good resource just to like browse around and take a look. And Walking Dead issue 1 is available here too. So
you can Walking Dead, Invincible, these are all good.
Invincible is available in this one too. Yeah.
Savage Dragon back in the day is a very readable comic book and stuff like that.
Ooh, shout out to Savage Dragon here. Hold on, let me look. Saga. Savage Dragon number 1 is available first issues. So yeah, check it out. Imagecomics.com, first issues. All right, and Straight Bullets is on it here. That's like one of my favorite comic books from the 90s. It's very much like if you wanted Pulp Fiction in a comic book form, mm-hmm. Straight Bullets is pretty much your answer.
Shout out to David Lamham, I think his name is.
Yeah. He's also one of those comic creators that had a lot of opinions about the industry. So
a lot of hot takes, man. Like, he's still around.
He doesn't sound like somebody who would still be around.
I haven't heard that name in a long time, man. Shout out to David Lapham, wherever you are. Straight Bullets back in the day was crack cocaine, man. Yeah, you're right. It was like Pulp Fiction.
Comic book.
I still remember the very last panel in the very first comic book. It's the image that's in my head. Shout out to that.
And that issue is in the first issues for that. So there you go. Check it out. All right. This is a nice, very long episode. This is episode 892 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who Would Prefer production.
All right, we did it again.
Sorry about getting heated about the Superman thing. I felt
kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
I felt like I was being ganged up on as being the only guy here who liked it.
Not you.
I'm sure it's Anna's fault.
I'm sure. My 12,000 followers. I'm sorry.
To avoid any confusion, I was just like, you had your opinion, but I was saying that it kind of reflects other people's opinion. That's what I was commenting on. It seems like the general opinion of this movie is such, and that's what I was targeting, not you specifically.
No, never you.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, like, for the most part, I usually am never always in the side of the critics or just the general opinion. Like Jurassic Park, for example. Like me and John Ming are in the minority opinion because we actually like the movie, you know, and a lot of critics
don't like the movie.
Get sideswiped by a giant dinosaur. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like you saw the side of this giant fish. I was like, wow, this is so cool. And they got chased out by these giant dinosaur fish. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. How can you not love that?
Once, I'm kind of like, I'm actually in the side of the majority who liked the Superman movie. And then you guys are like ruining my fun here. Like, I don't often get this.
That's fair.
No. Every chance I get, I'm going to make fun of the Superman movie. Going into the future is what I I don't know. He's done five of these between DC and Marvel. This is like the least, by far, like the least favorite. Stuff like that. It's not like a super bad movie. It's not like, it's better than any Man of Steel or anything like that. But I don't know. The magic's not there, man. Like I said, I went back and watched three. I'm just crying like a little bitch while I'm watching three, man. It's so good.
Superman 3?
No, the
Guardians 3 are cut above. So yeah, I can't really compare to that. I still prefer Guardians 3 over Superman. Like I said, I enjoyed the movie. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing ever, but I actually genuinely really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
I don't support animal torture, so I didn't like three.
It's not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of that part, but I mean, it kind of made a point.
No.
For the most part, a lot of times people put it off screen.
But
it was brave, I guess, that he would like make you.
A sick man.
This is what happens. Don't look away. Don't look away.
Yeah, I'm not into it either. But you know, at the same time, I'm eating an In-N-Out burger after this. You know what I'm saying? Say, come on, man. Come on, man. We don't
support In-N-Out anymore.
I know. I saw that thing.
I mean, if that was your case, or do you never go to Chick-fil-A then?
Of course, I'm the thing. I'm,
listen.
Living your pocket is all I'm saying.
No, okay. I haven't gone to Chick-fil-A in 2 decades. Okay, but so. So are you able to answer that question now?
I've gone on Chick-fil-A, but I will say this. Actually, it's kind of funny. After everything that's happening, there was a Reddit thread in the San Diego thread about how there's an In-N-Out, particularly here in San Diego, that prays for you when you make your order. So
why is this not on TikTok?
I know. And I'm like, you know what? Chick-fil-A doesn't do this to me. They accept me as who I am. Yeah. And they tell me, go on with your good day. But these people are praying for you in line. They're praying for you when you pay. And they pray for you when you get your food. I'm like, that's a little much.
When I first saw the going back to the In-N-Out thing, when I first saw In-N-Out, it reminds me of this viral thing I saw of Bill Blur, I think. He was on a talk show where he was doing some bit or something. He was mentioning, why are billionaires complaining so much? They're complaining the most. And they have the least to complain about. What is wrong with them? What is it about their life that they love complaining so much? Like, why is this shit complaining about California and stuff like that? You know, this place is so hard to do business, but, you know, you're a billionaire because of this place. Like, I don't understand.
It's a successful business. So what the heck?
They don't have to worry about anything.
Because if you're an In-N-Out employee, right, because it is one of the best places to work as far as, like, benefits and stuff like that. So if you're an employee, don't you think, wait, the chick I'm working for, the first chance she gets, she wants to cut my benefits. That's my reading of it. You know what I mean?
That is my reading of it too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if it was really up to her, she would cut my pay, my benefits, and all that stuff. And so is that what she's saying? Like, why is the billionaire owner of this company complaining so much about this business model that she's thriving. I guess she's thriving.
That would
be
interesting comparison, though, because we know In-N-Out has opened in places like Texas, right? And then very soon, Tennessee. So are the employees there not getting paid as much?
That's a good point, actually.
Californian employees? So.
Good point.
I don't know.
Well, my understanding is she says she wants to move the headquarters to Tennessee, but that obviously includes the restaurants, right? Is that what it is? I didn't read that part.
Good luck. Get out. Just get out, In-N-Out. I don't like you anyways.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. If all she's doing is like moving the headquarters to Tennessee, then whatever, right? It clearly is just a tax shell that they're doing. So
whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm reading too. The other thing was like, the other thing I got out from, she was like complaining about this is a bad place to raise your kids and some of that. Like, your kids, have they gone one day, like, without insurance, without, you know, food in the belly? Is it that hard for billionaires to raise kids as they go to, like, the private school, private tutors? Like, I don't know I don't understand.
It's pretty rich, too, considering the fact that, what was it I posted on the chat? Like, Tennessee is the, in terms of quality of life, it's the lowest in the country. So,
and in no way she's going to face that reality. You know what I mean? She's going to go there and be in a bubble, right? You know what I mean? Gated community, the best private teachers, the best healthcare. It's like, I don't know what's happening.
Greed, that's what's happening.
Crazy. She's crazy.
Again, Bill Burr says, why are these billionaires so miserable? Why are they so unhappy?
There's nothing to be unhappy about. Literally.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's happening here, man.
It's like the whole question, like would you, okay, if you win the lotto, like you win like $100 million, but like 40% of that goes to taxes, will you still be happy?
I'll be ecstatic, man.
Anna?
She'll be happy.
Yeah, I would also be happy, because you know why? Because I'm $60 million more richer than I was before. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Why would I be mad?
Yeah. In my mind's eye, I would like to think I'd never have to cash the check. I didn't even write this check because I never have to cash it. But I would like to think if I won a large sum of money, I would give most of it away. So I'm like, what am I going to do with millions of dollars? It's not that big a deal. As long as I have food in my bunk, you know what I want most in life, besides insurance, obviously, but just AC. I just want AC in my life. That's all I want. Really.
There you go.
It's hot. Everything else is not that big a deal. You know what I mean? As long as I have food in my belly, AC. And insurance, obviously. That's it. It's not that big a deal.
I'm set.
It's okay. I don't know. It's okay.
Exactly. All right. Let's call it a wrap. Anna, I will see you at Comic-Con.
All right. You guys have fun.
Yeah.
See ya. Bye.